I knew nothing about the bus industry. I'd ridden the bus.
Right?
I'd ridden the bus.
The wheels go round. You knew that?
The wheels go round. Yeah, exactly. I knew the song.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Doors closing. I fly home to Chicago about once a month to check on my parents. My childhood bedroom hasn't changed that much since high school. I keep clothes and other personal effects there so I can pack light. But I always make sure to pack a pair of glasses in my carry-on, which I almost always accidentally leave behind. But that's okay. I can just buy another pair super cheap and super fast from online retailer Warby Parker. I have maybe a dozen pair all told, probably eight of them in Chicago.
If you look at Warby Parker, what they did was incredible, right? They took an industry where there were a lot of industry forces saying, this is how you have to do it.
This week on Sand Hill Road, entrepreneur Howard Bornstein looking for the startup opportunities that fit his rule of 30, like Warby Parker.
The rule of 30 is basically that if there is a industry or business process that hasn't seen significant innovation in at least 30 years, then there's a good chance that there's a big opportunity to disrupt it. The idea of stylish, cheap frames that were mailed to you was a complete disruption to an industry that hadn't changed in over 30 years.
The one I think about immediately is taxicabs. Mm-hmm. You go back, 15 years or whatnot, and nothing had changed in taxicabs since they were the horse-drawn, maybe a central dispatching. That's about it.
Yeah.
And then in comes Uber. This is a classic example of the rule of 30, right?
Classic example. If you think of Uber coming along, there really had not been any innovation in taxis, in chauffeured service in general for decades. And here Uber comes along, Lyft as well, but Uber comes along and says, look, we have a way to do it better. And they did. And it took off.
And it's an immediate. The minute you got the hang of what an Uber was. The other industry, when I was thinking about the rule of 30, but it hasn't changed, needs to change, is the car dealership system. Nobody likes it.
Yep.
It's arduous. You're never sure if you're getting a fair price. And yes, there have been startups that have come in to try to challenge the incumbents, but none of them have become wildly successful.
That's a really great point. So I think you can take the car dealership industry, for example. I'm not intimately familiar with it, but you can think of the Carvanas of the world who've tried to do things and have gotten quite big at it, have had struggles, but have gotten big. Just because there's a opportunity, because the rule of 30 applies, there hasn't been innovation, doesn't mean that your idea is the idea that's going to be the breakthrough. And so you can think of Uber was the breakthrough, right?
Yeah, and I like that you're comparing Uber and Carvana because Carvana does the thing I'm asking to be done. But when Uber was invented, I haven't taken a taxi cab, if you don't include places like, London. I haven't taken a taxi cab in more than a decade. Nobody even says, let's get a taxi. They say, let's get an Uber. In the case of the car industry, Carvana is not that top of mind where you know, that of course I got it at Carvana.
Bingo. And so that in my mind is an example of, hey, there is a big opportunity here, but someone has not yet gotten it right. Carvana's done a great job. They've built something very sizable, but they haven't gotten to what I'll call ultimate mastery, where they've said, hey, this is now the way, right? Uber got to a place where this is the way. You now order an Uber, you don't order a taxi. But when you're buying a car, I think 9 times out of 10, people still aren't even thinking of, hey, I should at least check Carvana.
Can you give me other examples? We've gone through a couple, but that apply to the rule of 30, where this has been done this way for 30 years and is ripe for innovation?
Sure. Something that's been done this way for 30 years. Let's use healthcare again. So I think in the EMR space, you've got Epic and you've got Cerner. I think Epic's 30
years. Explain EMR to the listener who is not familiar.
Sure. You've got electronic medical records. These are the systems that hospitals run on for all your patient files, and horribly antiquated. If you talk to doctors, doctors hate it. If you talk to administrators, administrators hate it. If you talk to Epic, they're signing billion-dollar deals with billion-dollar deals with hospital networks. And so that's an example in my mind where you have an industry that hasn't seen innovation. They've not invested in material innovation for a long time, ripe for disruption. There's lots of folks trying to go after that because of the size of the opportunity. It doesn't mean it's easy, and it doesn't mean a specific individual's idea is correct, but someone's going to get it, and that's going to flip the industry.
Healthcare is heavily regulated, but then again, I suspect whether it's Warby Parker or Uber, the heavily regulated industries are the ones that probably, you know, went 30 years without any real good innovation.
Yeah, the more, as a simple rule, but the more regulation there is, the more likely there hasn't been as much change. I mean, you mentioned Uber. Think of what was helping to prevent the change. Well, the whole taxi medallion system.
Right?
That was regulation. That was lines drawn from a base of law, not a base of free markets. And that for sure creates friction to slowing innovation and reduces the need for the incumbents to innovate.
You said that you think autonomous driving fits this criteria. I'm not sure I agree. I mean, the car industry is an industry. We've talked about that. Driving's not an industry. And I think the customer, the consumer needs something that they want cheaper, faster, better. Uber, obviously, is no question cheaper, faster, better, or overpriced optometrist. I don't know. Do people want self-driving cars? The people who are into them, it seems to me, are the, you know, and they can be of any gender, but the fanboys, right? Look what my car can do. Isn't this cool? But the rest of us, I don't know that we're knocking down doors for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think as you think through these things, what you dial into, for me and the rule of 30, trying to really isolate what are we talking about that hasn't been innovated on, right? It's not that cars haven't been innovated on. Sure. We've got fancier cars, we've got better sensors, but does that cut to how do we spend our time? And so if you're driving from San Jose to San Francisco, that's 90 minutes of your time. If you have to do that drive on a regular basis and someone could offer you 3 hours a day of your time back, would you take that? And I think it boils down to things like that, where what are you really innovating on with the rule of 30? And I do think the commute is a big opportunity from an innovation perspective, and self-driving will be a big part of that.
Speaking of commute, you've funded a company called CharterUp, which deals with charter buses, and then actually took a role in it. I'll get to that in a second. But to begin with, what did you know about the bus industry?
When I first got involved with CharterUp 5 years ago, I knew nothing about the bus industry. I'd ridden the bus.
Right?
I'd ridden the bus.
The wheels go round. You knew that?
The wheels go round. Yeah, exactly. I knew the song. You know, I've been on charter buses. I've been on airport shuttles. I've seen buses. But I really knew nothing. But it was pretty obvious, even with initial research, that it was a stagnant industry. There was no innovation in the bus industry for decades.
And what needed innovating?
That's a great question. When I, from a rule of 30 perspective, I didn't know what needed innovating. As I got into it, you start realizing that, have you ever booked a bus?
A party bus, yeah.
You booked a party bus, yes. Okay. Have you ever booked a charter bus?
No.
Okay, so how easy was it to book a party bus?
Yeah, you call them and you get a quote and then you check with your friends, hey, we're going to divide it by this many. Yeah.
Exactly. So with a party bus, it might not be, you know, quite the same. It's a little bit more of like an entertainment-driven
sure.
industry. In the bus industry, you know, 80% of the industry's mom and pops. That means that 80% of the companies you call, the proprietor, the person who's sales and marketing and customer support, is also driver. And so if you try and reach them, there's a chance they're not picking up the phone or they're saying, hey, call me back, text me back, I'm currently driving. And then you've got to chase them down to get a quote. That process of getting a quote, having customer service, knowing your bus is on time, keeping your itinerary updated, that is a lot of work for these mom and pops. And I quickly began to realize that from a customer standpoint, if you're booking a few buses, this is something that's unknown to you. And if you're booking a lot of buses, this is something that's a real problem for you.
Now, you went from investor to being involved in the company itself. Why make that transition?
Yeah, I guess it was a I don't know how you say it. I guess it's like an opportunity knocks type of situation where, I was very impressed with CharterUp from when I first met them, from the CEO, his tenacity, the vision, the fact that this was an industry ripe for disruption, but not so big that you had hundreds of companies chasing the disruption. And then as things really started to take off, a lot of the technology investments that we made during the pandemic started to really bear fruit coming out of the pandemic. That's when the founder asked me to join and help scale it. And it was just a very exciting opportunity. And so had to jump on it and help drive the company.
Sandhill Road will be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I would think you're involved in an industry that is particularly vulnerable to cutbacks because you are serving other industries, right? It's the B2B that get hit fastest, because the startup no longer needs the charter bus, et cetera. Have you seen that?
Great question. So we've seen different things in different industries. Travel and tourism isn't yet fully back from pre-pandemic mm-hmm. levels in terms of organized bus trips and things like that. For a lot of our customers, the service we provide is a need-to-have service as opposed to a nice-to-have service. And so we haven't been significantly hit by the economic slowdown. Now, it's possible that the market isn't growing as quickly as it might otherwise be growing, but if you're a sports team, you're still going to your playoff games. If you're a manufacturing plant, you still need to have your employees be able to get to the right warehouses. If you're Facebook building a new data center. You've got thousands of tradespeople for a couple years. You still need to build that. So a lot of these aren't impacted. There are some pockets like, hey, e-commerce season. We do a lot for fulfillment centers during e-commerce season. And so there, the number of employees they need to shuttle to and from distribution centers, that'll change. The location around the country where that happens, that'll change. But we've at least been fortunate enough so far that we haven't really felt it.
How'd you get started in banking? And you were at Bain for a while. You were at, where else were you? Tell me.
Yeah. I got very, very fortunate coming out of business school. I was at Stanford GSB.
Yeah.
Was a sort of class of 2009-10. And mm-hmm. I got to spend a summer at Bain Capital during the financial crisis. They were kind enough to ask me back. I spent about half a decade between Bain Capital Ventures, got to learn from some incredible people who I look up to as some of the best in the industry from both a private equity and a venture capital perspective. And as part of where I honed this rule of 30, where I was looking at hundreds, probably 500 companies a year at Bain Capital Ventures, and I was slowly starting to pick up on patterns of what looks most interesting, where does there seem to be the biggest opportunity? And I started realizing, hey, wait a second. Folks who are chasing recent areas of innovation, they're having a much harder time than folks who are chasing areas where there hasn't been recent innovation.
Yeah, the shiny new thing seems to be the appeal to the startup creator, where it is I'm trying to innovate the distribution of fertilizer in the farming system, not super sexy at cocktail parties, but maybe making money hand over fist.
Yeah, I personally think some of the most boring stuff is the most interesting stuff from that perspective. A lot of the items that sound super sexy or have just been done are really, really tough opportunities to go after to do something new, because it's not that different. It's not that new. The problem has just been solved 10 years ago. Most people are still adopting that new solution, even though for the early adopters it's been around for 10 years. There's still a huge amount of people who are still adopting that new solution. It's not yet time that everyone's adopted it and people start needing something new. So I fully agree with that sometimes the most sexy stuff is the most interesting. And sometimes, the TechCrunch headlines of raising tons of money at crazy valuations, burning tons of money. So many industries, I think, that isn't necessary. Unless if you have the Uber or Airbnb type of competition, that's a different story. But for so many industries, there's a real opportunity to be more capital efficient than say like TechCrunch might let on.
What's next for you?
I think, look, we're building Charter up. I think over the next couple of years, we'll have line of sight on if we could be a potential IPO candidate. I think there's no one else doing what we're doing. Kayak booking, they do it for hotels, they do it for flights. Uber does it for travel, but certainly in no way has cracked it for large group transit. Once you get above an Uber XL, it starts getting very tough to use Uber to do it, and we're really the place to go. So I think we're gonna keep growing. We're gonna keep serving sectors better. We're working on some exciting AI projects that some of them have already been launched. Some of them are going to get launched.
AI in busing.
I know, right?
In bus scheduling?
AI in bus scheduling.
You know, I guess I can see that. I mean, there is some complexity to it because, I mean, so many startups, you know, and we're totally adding AI to our whatever it is we're doing. You know, at first you think AI and bus scheduling, but much like airline scheduling, I'm astounded that, you know, you get one bus out of position and everything goes to hell.
It's a similar dynamic, right? You a little bit, something goes off a little bit. There's a storm you didn't predict, et cetera. You start getting customer issues. As a customer, you want to have confidence that you're getting the right bus at the best price you can, that you're not overpaying, that you're getting inventory, that you're not working with an operator who's overselling their book. And there's lots of these behaviors that happen. And so building the technology that allows us to deliver a better customer experience at better pricing with higher confidence, that is a bit of a holy grail where now everyone just says, hey, wait a second. Like the old way of doing this doesn't make sense. There's a solution which will be CharterUp, which just makes sense. It just trumps the way that it used to be done.
Entrepreneur Howard Bornstein and his Rule of 30. Sandhill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.